thought you may want some more props involved in this morning. I mean, how do you follow that? I don't want it to take a serious dip now. It's just when I sung that hymn there about proclaiming the Lord's love and how boundless it is. There's something wonderful about his love that has to just flow out from us. And however hard it is, love the illustration of someone trying to pass a banana neck to neck. I mean, let's be honest, it wasn't great, you know, for those involved, but for us watching, it was amazing, wasn't it? But it does illustrate that the Lord's boundless love does need to go out into such difficult circumstances, difficult people, difficult social settings. His love goes out there, and he amazingly uses one another here, simple folk. But when the Lord gets into a life, he can share his great love, and that for me is wonderful and it's boundless. I just wanted to try and follow on, if I can, thanks Ona, follow on and in a way about the Lord's amazing love. And I want to do it from a few different perspectives. And my reading will be in the book of Micah. There'll be a few verses in the book of Micah. My heart at the moment is saying, Lord, would you really move in Barnstondale? Move on a generation that at the moment the wicked one so wants to destroy, so wants to remove the truth, deconstruct the truth, wants to bring a false reality. Lord, this morning we pray, Lord, for those meeting at Barnstondale. Oh Lord, hear the deep cries of our heart. Bring new life, we pray. Transform lives. May there be a real hunger and a thirst for you, the truth that you are, Lord. Like we've heard this morning, the amazing love. You are love, Lord. Lord, move in that place this morning, we pray. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
I just want to share a few verses. I've got a few props here. This is just for the grown-ups. Kids, you might get a bit bored with this, but you may be able to help me and tell me what they are. Right. Right, first ones. These are pretty hefty, aren't they? Okay, we got some binoculars here, okay? I'm going to leave these on here. Actually, I could do with it. Right, let's put them on here. Okay, first prop, a set of binoculars that someone very kindly lent me for today. Next one is, I wonder if you can guess who lent me this one.
Dave
Iron. Okay. I'll be coming round later on just to check everyone's heart. Check we're all in order, okay? Got a stethoscope there. I think it's all been decontaminated and disinfected. Right, next one. What's this one?
Telescope.
You got it. Telescope. Okay, see if this fits on here. Okay. So we've got a telescope, stethoscope and some binoculars. Everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Right, let's try and link that to the story now. Oh, man. And we're in the book of Micah, okay? Brilliant little minor prophet, okay? And he says this, if you've got your Bible, just turn to Micah, and he says this in chapter 6. These are probably some of my favourite little verses, okay? And you probably know them, they're very well known. But he says this, chapter 6, he starts with this little phrase. He says in verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Now, I don't know how you felt this morning coming here, but what did you feel like bringing today? Just yourself or anything else? How did you arrive this morning?
In a car.
That's a great answer. In a
load
of children. Any others? How did you arrive this morning? Okay, we've had a car, we've had with other children. Walked, brilliant, okay. So different methods of transport, some walked, some came in a car. But did you come in some ways with a heart that was prepared with kind of almost an expectation that God might say something today? Yes. Did you, honestly? That's amazing. Well, this little book here tells about a people that basically had gone cold on God. They'd forgotten how good and how wonderful God had been to them over so many years. And they'd actually started to go quite wrong, quite bad. They treated people terribly, especially in the courts. You know, if you owned a bit of land, if you owned a little bit of land, these people started to pinch that land and take all of their possessions, okay? And they'd be just really horrible to them. And then it goes on. God is not happy with these people, okay? They'd heard so much truth over the years, and they'd actually turned their back on him. And he said this. This is the people saying to God, "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Basically, these people were trying, in some ways, as best as they could, to bring something that would please God. Basically, they were going to fail. Can I say this morning, sometimes you can put on your best suit, you can press your shirt like I did this morning, try and have a shave, try and look a bit smart, try and act very nicely. There's, in some ways, God sees right through it and goes right to the centre of our hearts, okay? This is the response. This is the key verses. Verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you and me?" Today, here, at this moment, "but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Three things. And I just want to this morning illustrate three things, okay? The first one is an outward look. Okay, my binoculars. This illustrates my outward look. Okay, this is living justly. We have an opportunity in these days that we live to live justly. Okay, and we'll go into justly next. Then we have the inward look. Now, I could come round and check everyone, but we haven't got time. All right, have a little... We've got doctors here. Joy, you could come round and... Sorry. I think everyone's been press-ganged already today to do this, so I've run out of that. But in some ways, the next one is an inward look. It's to see what is in the heart of man. Okay, so we've got the outward look. We've got the inward look. And the next one is this one here. Okay, I will take the lens off in a little bit. But this is the upward look. Okay, you can get these on Amazon. If anyone wants this after, they can have it. Because I did try and get one to borrow, but I had to get... So any kids want this one after, come and see me. So we've got the upward look. Alright, so we've got inward. Just checking you're still there. Outward and... Excellent. So... Do justly. This is the first one. I just wanted to make a mention of to do justly. This is in some ways a right way of living. Do you realise that there is a right way of living? You know that something is inbuilt in us, and I think the Lord, when he comes and moves in our heart, brings us into an understanding of right and wrong in such a clear way. Maybe when you're at school, college, or in your workplace, there'll be some things that come and test you, and there'll be something in your heart which just brings that thing of, that's not right. Something isn't right there. Or the opposite is, you get something right. Yes, Lord, confirmation, it's right. I need to go on and do this thing. I'm going to go on and get this job. And in these circumstances that we live in, the Lord brings a right for us to walk in, but he also brings a wrong where our consciousness is pricked and it's like, no, hold off there. That is an incredible thing. So we must do justly. And the people at this time here were not doing justly, and it was actually people in the church. It was Israel. It was leaders. Ones who'd known the truth, and then we were doing badly. But we today can do right and be just. Now, it says here, what is living justly? It says this, I read this in one of my concordances. It says, it's the establishment of a person as just by acquittal from guilt. I'll say that again. It's the establishment of a person, you and I, here this morning, just, that means right with God, by acquittal from guilt. Can I just propose something this morning? But if we live and walk justly with our God, we should have a real sense of the forgiveness that the guilt of our lives has been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a huge pressure these days in some ways to be just, and in some ways they call them like justice warriors. You know, there's a massive pressure to be, to give out justice in all realms of things, okay? Social media and sport and all that. That justice, it can only come from knowing that you are acquitted by God because what he's done on the cross. Precious Lord. We can live a just life. Now, my middle lad plays for a football team. I won't mention a team. But he plays for a football team, and recently he's kind of, fallen out of favour. And he's not starting in the first 11. Please don't mention this to him, okay? But I'm trying to use it as an illustration. And there was something about it that kind of, and I watch him every week play football, and I watch the team. I love sport, quite competitive. And I've been watching it, and I'm thinking, why is he not in that? Why is he not starting that? And a little bit of pride started to come up a little bit. But then I needed time to reflect on it. And I was thinking, no, in actual fact, he's been given a bit of a short straw here. For once in my life, I thought, this is a bit unjust. And you may be thinking, Mark, it's just a game of football. You're kicking a pig's bladder around. Don't get too, you know. But in actual fact, something in me, and it wouldn't go away. And I went and I thought, and I'd listened to other parents as well, and you get them talking on the touchline. And I said, I went and I spoke to the coach, and I don't usually kind of, but I thought, no, I'm going to confront this. You're looking a bit shocked, aren't you? And I went in the right way. I did go in the right way, and I talked to you. Helen did say, can I just interject there? Helen did say, you need to do it in the right way before, you know. So she calmed me down. But I did talk to him. I said, look, I watch every week. I watch how the game goes. And I just said, it's about minutes on the pitch. I said, why is he being left out? You know, and it wasn't me putting my parent cap on and being a bit blinkered with my binoculars. It wasn't. And then we just had a discussion anyway. He didn't take it too well. Sorry. I'd like to say it all ended up well, but you know. But in actual fact, we messaged and we were talking, and it did in some ways say, the end of it was, you take care, we're okay, you know. But there was something in my heart that just felt that was just a bit of an unfairness. Now, you may be in your realm of life where there may be some really bigger things than this here, which you'll face, okay? But it's okay if you feel right in your heart to tackle something that you feel is unfair. It really is. It's probably not a great analogy talking about football and the like, but there was something there that it wasn't fair. Anyway, it's ended up fine. He's not been thrown out of the team. It's all okay, and he'll learn by it, and I will learn by it. Not to react too quickly, but in some ways, just wait, and if that feeling's still there, then just go and confront it. So we can be right with one another, to live justly. And you'll be in, when you're in the working environment, you'll be squeezed on situations where you'll actually have the opportunity to be just with one another. Okay, now here's a question that when I was a child I used to ask all the time. One word, why? Does any parents get that question? Why? Why? Okay, why? Why act justly? Well, it says this in James. It says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Here's the key thing, partiality. "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and ask him to, you sit here in this lovely good place here, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" And I just liken this to an illustration of really, there's an opportunity to be just, to be right with one another. How amazing that we can actually slip into this thing of, we see someone that's very important, and we go after them, we say, "Look, you come here, you've been wonderful, have a seat here." But the one that we look at and think doesn't have anything at all, we can just bypass. It happens in the work life. I've worked with people before when they just almost pay so much attention to the person that's in charge that they are so going after their career, they bypass everyone else. So determined, so single-minded to please the one at the top, and that is how the world works. So much of it is about appearance and being good to one another, where the Lord shows no partiality. You here this morning, however, whatever age you are, wherever you're from, history, background, he shows no partiality. He loves you. And I believe he was here this morning, even witnessing this demonstration of the two groups of people here, and he's saying, "Yes, that is him." Love can be difficult, but keep loving those that may have the filthy clothes, that may be the downcast in society. So why? Well, it says this is in Isaiah 61, Isaiah lived at the same time as Micah. It says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant." Why should we live and justly? Because the Lord loves justice, and he loves those that are just. Amazing. That was the outward call. Next one is the inward. I'm going to get out my stethoscope here. This has got some history, isn't it? Think of dear Dave. They're away this weekend. But man, how that man has served both. I won't go off on one, but I just think it's wonderful, you know. He's been someone that's pastored many people's hearts. And in some ways he has, both medically but also in his life. Thank you, Dave, and Anne too. They're away this weekend. But this is really just an inward look now, okay, of the state of the heart. I'm not going to test mine because at the moment it is probably sky high. but here we go on. It says this. In verse 8 it says, "To love mercy." This is the inward thing. You have to love mercy deep down in here. Now, what's mercy? This is mercy. It says this, to feel sympathy with the misery of another. I've had a week where I've had to show sympathy to the misery of another at work. Tears. Grown man in tears. There's the misery in the world. And you have to stand with them. You have to in some way show a bit of stability in your life that they can lean on. And this man is 6'5". And the misery of the world came in this week. And what can we do? We can love mercy. Show mercy. It says here, mercy, it's the feelings of kindness. Are you kind to one another? Are you kind to your family members, to those that you work with at school maybe? Are you kind to those in your class? Kindness goes so far. The loving kindness of the Lord Jesus. Goodwill, tender mercies. Okay, my next thing is why? Why love mercy? It says here, In 1 Peter it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. You're the people of God. Then it says here, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We can only be merciful to those that we know because we have to know the great mercy of God in our lives. He's been so merciful to us. It says in Jude, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves, and we've heard about it this morning, God's love. It says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring to you in eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Why? Because there is mercy there. It says this, but because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. You know, we had a week of prayer here a few weeks ago, and I wrote some notes about what was coming through on that week, and I've just been again blown over. It's about the King came that week and visited us. The wonderful King, the Lord Jesus. He kind of reached down and touched us as we waited on him for a week. We had a week of waiting on God. This little story here in some ways is walking with God. Can I just say you need to wait first and then walk? And in that waiting, I just sense, and others did as well, that the King wanted to come and just touch his people. What did he touch us with? Mercy, justice. The Lord is rich in mercy. He wants to come round this morning and check your heart. Where's your heart this morning? Is it in finely tuned with the Lord Jesus? You can say if you want, honestly, God much prefers an honest answer. And you can sometimes say this sometimes when you're thinking, oh Lord, I just seem out of tune. You know? Out of tune, I'm out of place, so I don't sense a belonging here. You know, the Lord's okay with that. It's an honest place to come to him and say that. But then what he will do is come rushing in with mercy and love. Conscious of time. Let's go on to the third one. What's the third one? Upward. Thanks for reminding me. And also checking at people. So we've done the outward. We have great opportunities, by the way, on the outward to share with people just to live justly. And also the thing is that we need to have that inward time with the Lord to know his love and mercy in our lives. Now we're going to go with the upward. Got my telescope. This does work, by the way. I have tested it out. I can see someone on the back row over there. So we've got the upward look. Can I recommend the upward look? If you just do the outward look in this world, you'll trip over. You walk into lampposts. And at the moment, you'll get your feet wet in the floods. You've got to get this thing of the upward look. Okay? Young children, kids, as well as the adults. The upward look. That is looking to who? Yes! You got it. What an answer. So love, mercy, and it says to walk humbly with your God. This is the upward. Walk humbly. This is a great description of the heart of God towards his people. Okay, he came so far down to you and I. That is a picture of a humble God. It's one of his attributes. And it says this. It says this, humility. Things that are lowly. I was trying to work out what describes humility. Things that are made low, things that are lowly, of low estate or low degree. Humble in spirit. There's a lowliness of mind. Today we are absolutely in kind of bombarded with the fame of the intelligent mind. Everything we listen to, it's even on podcasts, on TV, high acclaim is given to the intellectual mind. And also these days, the one that actually deconstructs truth, okay, I'm going off on one here a little bit, and then portrays another truth, okay, postmodernism. By the way, ignore it. Jesus made himself of no reputation, came down and made himself so low, a mind that could have been clever and was clever and anything else that's out there, but made himself, and even brought about things like parables so people could understand what he was saying. I mean, how amazing is that? Simple folks like me, I can read a parable and kind of understand it. He did the same for those people at the same time. So there's a humility of mind. Okay, my thing is, why should we walk in humility? Okay, why? Well, it says this, Philippians 2 verse 8, after being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Why should we walk in a humble way? Because he, our wonderful Lord, has walked that route, made himself of no reputation to the point of death, even death on the cross. Oh, does that bring life to you? It means I can understand the misery of my work colleague. It says this, therefore humble yourselves. This is in James. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, if the church really wants to make an impact in these days now, I believe it has to humble itself. I really do. We have the capacity to humble ourselves. And I think that is something that the church, if you think about the nations at the moment that are so persecuted, I think there is a humility there, which is why the Lord's church is growing. I would say in the West, I know this is going a bit too serious now, but in the West, in some ways, there's been navel-gazing. And we've lost the sense of humility. We need to come back to that place of lowliness of mind and heart and spirit. And then the Lord will come, lift up his church and do things. Precious Lord, my time is going. Just an example of humility. Humility in action. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus. He was hit twice in the Bible. Hit in the face. Hope you don't do that, kids, grown-ups. But he was hit, struck twice. It's in John 18 and 19, and his response was remarkable. I find it that we always hear this phrase of, oh, turn the other cheek, which the Lord said. And one time when he was hit in the face, he actually then said to those that hit him, it was one of the soldiers and one of the priests, he said, well, why did you do that? What came out of my mouth was the truth. So why did you hit me? He was going after justice. But in the same way, he was going after justice, but also showed love and humility. So there'll be times in our life when we'll need to be just and say what's the truth on something. But in the same way, turn the other cheek. Basically saying, you'll take another insult. Okay, if you're really going to take someone down, you don't really hit them in the cheek, okay? If I'm not, I did a bit of boxing when I was in my teenage years. You don't really just do a slap and that's it. It's referring to an insult. You all have insults in this life. And you'll need to turn the other cheek because there'll be another insult there. But all the time you're just loving the same people. Amazing. And the Lord illustrated it so greatly in two places where he was. And the final one, let's finish. Hebrews 12, it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares us. You know the sin that ensnares you. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Can you picture the track now? We're together, side by side. We're running a race at different pace, but that's fine. Fixing our on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him who endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That scorning the shame is the reference to when he was just in some ways hit in the face, scourged. But we this morning can look again to Jesus. It's the upward look. Can I just say it this morning? It's a wonderful place to be. The misery sometimes of the circumstances we hear, but we can always come back to that upward look to the Lord Jesus. Should we do that? I'm just going to pray to finish. Just remembering the outward look, which is about the opportunity we have to live today in so many different social settings and family dynamics and workplaces and relationships. We can actually live in a just and right way with God, which then affects how we live with others. We can love mercy because we understand that the Lord was so merciful to us. To me, an absolute wretch and sinner. And we can also humble ourselves under the eyes of God, knowing that he will just raise us up. We can live in a state of humility, of lowliness of mind.